Psalm 103 tonight. Psalm 103, we'll be reading verses 15 through 22. Psalm 103, verses 15 through 22. Psalm 103, verse 15, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, to those that remember his commandments, to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his work in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, part six. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for this report. Lord, we pray that you would bless the Pattons, give them wisdom, protect them, guide them as they go to serve you in the country of the Philippines. I pray you'd give them much fruit. Lord, I pray that you'd bless as we look at your word tonight, that you would speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. We concluded last week with verse 15. Verse 15 starts a thought that verse 16 will build on. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. We don't really see our existence that way. A flower grows up, it lives and dies, and leaves nothing behind. Oh, for a while, there's a withered up plant, there's a dried up flower, but eventually it is gone completely with no evidence that it has ever even been here. Now, if it reproduced, if its seeds found fertile soil, then it actually might leave many flowers behind, but the original flower is gone. And God likens man to that flower. Man searches for significance. Man searches for purpose. Man searches for meaning. Man searches for permanence. He wants there to be a reason for his existence. He does not want to live in vain. He wants to leave his mark on the world. And in his pride and self-centeredness, he can sometimes imagine himself to be pretty important because of who he is or what he can do or who he knows or what he supposes he could become if given the opportunities. In man's vanity, he fancies himself to be more than he is. And Psalm 49:11 says, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever, and their dwelling places to all generations. They call their lands after their own names. And then someone will come along and rename them after you're gone, and name it something else. Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not. He's like the beasts that perish. This their way is their folly. Yet their posterity approve their saying. Selah, think on that. And the next generation will do the same thing, and on and on. Like sheep they're laid in the grave. Death shall feed on them, and the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. And the greatest, quote unquote, will rot just like the least will. In Psalm 49, verse 16, be not thou afraid when one is made rich, when the glory of his house is increased. For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him. When Jeff Bezos dies, he dies just like everybody else. When Bill Gates dies, he dies just like everybody else. Though while he lived, he blessed his soul. And men will praise thee when thou doest well to thyself. He shall go to the generation of his fathers. They shall never see light. Man that is in honor and understandeth not is like the beast that perish. What a tragedy that is. Man should know that there's an eternity that awaits and that awaits him. And in this life, he needs to prepare for that eternity. An animal has no thought of tomorrow. An animal has no thought that one day he's going to die. But man that doesn't understand all of this is just not much greater than the animals as far as that goes. David said, I've seen the wicked in great power and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yea, I sought him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together. The end of the wicked shall be cut off. and the more power or prestige or possessions or pleasure a man can attain and achieve and accumulate, the more significant he is oftentimes in our eyes and certainly in his own eyes. Solomon would write in Ecclesiastes, "There is an evil which I've seen under the sun, and it is common. It is common among men. A man to whom God hath given riches." And by the way, whatever we have in this life, God has done. God has given. "A man to whom God hath given riches, wealth, and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desireth. Yet God giveth him not power to eat thereof, but a stranger eateth it. This is vanity, and it is an evil disease. If a man beget 100 children, and live many years, so that the days of his years be many, and his soul be not filled with good, and also that he have no burial, I say that an untimely birth is better than he. For he cometh in with vanity, and departeth in darkness, and his name shall be covered with darkness. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand." How true that is. We'll depart this world the same way we came in, with nothing. He goes on to say, this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? What a description of the man that lives for the things of this life, a man that lives for nothing. He's labored for the wind. While the wind blows, it may have significance, and you can hear it, and you can see the effects of it, but soon it's gone, and its effect is short-lived. And the man that lives his life for the vanity of this world, he's laboring, the Bible says, for the wind. No matter how powerful a man may become, there is one power that he will never have. There is no man that hath power over the Spirit to retain the Spirit, neither hath he power in the day of death. The writer of Ecclesiastes concludes his treatise on life by stating that vanity, that everything is vanity, that life is vanity, a waste, emptiness, nothingness. Solomon devoted a portion of his life to living for the things of this world, trying to find meaning and purpose and all of that, and all of the things that he looked to for purpose, and all of the things that he looked to for meaning could not satisfy. Money. How many people live for that? Possessions, pleasure, fame, sex, parties, intelligence, and learning, and power, you name it, he tried it. And then he pronounced it all vanity, emptiness, vexation of spirit, frustration, and just an irritation, if you will. To summarize his 12-chapter book, he's telling us that a life lived for anything but God has no real significance, no lasting value, no real importance. Now, we would probably all agree with that tonight. In doctrine and theory and intellectually, we would agree with that. So then the logical question to ask ourselves is, why then don't we live for God? If a life lived for anything and anybody else is vanity, is a waste, you know, if the Lord tarries his coming, one day you will die. Your flower may have bloomed brilliantly and been very attractive to a lot of people, but one day it will fade, it will wither, it will die. If the Lord were to tarry his coming long enough, eventually there would be no one around who would even know you, and your name and your memory will be gone. Even if you manage to accomplish something of significance historically or noteworthy, you'll be nothing more than a few lines in some official record or in a history book somewhere. And that's it. That flower in the field is going to die someday. The only thing that it can leave behind is more flowers. And Christian, you're going to die someday if the Lord tarries. The only thing of lasting importance and eternal significance that you can leave behind is more Christians. How are you doing in that regard? We live for things that seem so significant now, but they have no lasting significance. They have no eternal value. If you were to die tonight, I'm talking to Christians now, how much of real worth would you leave behind you? How many Christians have you given birth to? As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. We're not as permanent as we'd like to think. We're only temporary here on earth. Our real significance, our real value, our real worth is measured by how much eternal good we can accomplish. That's all. The psalmist would say, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Who are we in light of God? Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwelleth on high, who humbleth himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? We get to thinking we're really something. God has to humble himself to even look at us. We're not as great as we might fancy ourselves to be. We are finite. We are limited. Our significance is wrapped up in a God who is infinite and unlimited. In Psalm 103:17, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. We see again the blessings that are promised upon those that fear the Lord. Again, verse 17, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him. Psalm 147:11, the Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, and those that hope in his mercy. Psalm 115:13, he will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great. And we see that mercy and righteousness and the fear of God are given to his own, to those that will keep his covenant with God. They'll keep covenant with him, then God will keep covenant with them. There were many covenants that God had with his people in the Bible. And some were conditional, some were unconditional. Starting back in the Old Testament, you have the Adamic covenant, you have the Noahic covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the Davidic covenant, covenant with Israel. And here David refers to what is called a conditional covenant. There were conditions to be met. And in verse 18, to such as keep his covenant and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord had on many occasions told Israel what he would do for them if they kept his commandments. And he told them what he would do to them if they didn't. Deuteronomy 28, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if... conditional, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field, and blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandment of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And that's the positive. That's the good side. But there was also the other side. There were promises associated with disobedience, just as there were promises associated with obedience. But, says in verse 15, if it shall But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field, and thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations, whither the Lord shall lead thee. And we see that even today. We see that their name is a byword and their name is used pejoratively and in a negative context, in a negative way to describe them around the world. And thou shalt carry much seed out into the field and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but thou shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast its fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. And for centuries that took place. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. And God had blessed them, and they didn't appreciate it. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies. You didn't serve God with gladness and joyfulness, so you're going to serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things, and thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. And boy, hasn't that been their legacy through the years? Thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were even. At even thou shalt say, would God it were morning. In other words, you're not going to be content. You're not going to be satisfied. You're always going to wish it was something different, some other way. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. That bestowing of blessings, or that meeting out of judgment, God is well able to do. He's very capable, very qualified. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And oftentimes in that verse, we emphasize God can see all the sin and the evil, but God sees the good as well. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, and he's looking at your life and mine, and he wants to see us live in a way that glorifies him. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. The prophet would tell the king, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Peter would write, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. And one day God will rule and reign in righteousness in a mighty way, and the world will know. All the earth will know. We might sometimes wonder if God is going to judge. Does he see? Does he know? There is coming a day when the Lord will arise to shake terribly the earth. There is coming a day in which he will judge all nations with his truth. Again, Ecclesiastes reminds us, if thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent perverting of judgment and justice in a province, he said, marvel not at the matter. Don't be surprised by that. Don't be astonished. For he that is higher than the highest regardeth, and there be higher than they. You know, our Supreme Court is really with a little S. There's a Supreme Court with a capital S. It's the final court. And people say, the Supreme Court, that's the final stop. There's no appeal from that court. Oh, my friend, there's a greater court. And how the Supreme Court, those that sit on that, the justices can think that they are the final end-all, be-all, but they're not. Not even close. Because of God's greatness, his majesty, his righteousness, his goodness, because of all the things that he has spoken of in Psalm 103, the Lord's name is to be praised. Amen. And the Lord is to be magnified. And we'll talk a little bit more about that next time in these uncertain times. where upon earth there's distress of nations with perplexity, there's commotions and men's hearts failing them for fear. What is to be the response of the child of God? We're told in the Word of God. Verse 20, bless the Lord, ye his angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Not only the angels are called upon to join in this splendid refrain, but all the hosts of heaven. Verse 21, bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his that do his pleasure. Not just the angels and all of his ministers, but all of creation. Psalm 66, 14, all the earth shall worship thee and shall sing unto thee. They shall sing to thy name, Selah. One day all of creation will praise the Creator. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. You remember when the Philistines defeated Israel in battle? And one of the things that they captured was the Ark of God. Remember in the days of Eli the priest, and the Ark of God was taken, and Eli fell over dead. The Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Eben-Ezer unto Ashdod. And when the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. So interesting thing, they're false god. And they bring in the Ark of God into a pagan heathen temple, and they set up the Ark of God by their false god Dagon. And when they of Ashdod arose early on the morrow, behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the earth before the Ark of the Lord. One day all of creation will do that. And they took Dagon and set him in his place again. And you can just imagine, they come in the next day and they survey the scene, and Dagon has fallen down prostrate before the Ark of the Lord. Now, we can't have that. And so they prop him up again. Psalm says, they have hands, but they handle not, feet have they, but they walk not. Someone has to carry them. And so they prop him up again, because that would be just wrong to have him bowed down before the Ark of the Lord. And when they arose early on the morrow morning, they wake up the next day. Behold, Dagon was fallen upon his face to the ground before the Ark of the Lord. And the head of Dagon and both the palms of his hands were cut off upon the threshold. Only the stump of Dagon was left to him. That's pretty good. Therefore, neither the priests of Dagon nor any that come into Dagon's house tread on the threshold of Dagon in Ashdod unto this day. They come in the next day, and Dagon's fallen over again. His head's cut off, and he's dismembered. And they're like, you know what? I don't think I'm coming back. And they left. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. David had opened this psalm, as we saw some weeks back, with the admonition to his own soul to bless the Lord, to praise and thank and exalt the Lord. Oh, how we ought to do that. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. We're told to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. We're so prone to forget. We're so prone to focus on our problems and difficulties, and we're so prone to forget all the blessings and all the benefits. If all you got was salvation, you got more than you deserved. You got enough. Bless the Lord, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. And as we talked when we went through that, we forget that and we lose the significance of that and the blessedness of that. And how many religions of the world, and our missionary showed the video, and you can go to the Philippines, and many of you have, and many of you grew up there, and you see the parades, and you see the men in Passion Week whipping their backs and the blood flowing down their backs freely, hoping to somehow do enough penance that their form of God will find their works suitable. And so they punish themselves, hoping against hope it's enough. Can I light enough candles? Can I pray enough prayers? Can I crawl on my knees far enough? Do you understand the bondage and the blindness that you don't have tonight as a child of God? You're not free from that bondage because you're so smart. You're free from that bondage because God has delivered you from it. He's delivered you from darkness into light, the Bible says. That's not of you. Don't think you've done something great. Like God would have to remind Israel, I didn't choose you because you were greater than other nations. You were more significant. I chose you because of my grace. And God's willing for anybody to come to him. But it's he that opened your eyes. It's he that brought you out of darkness and into light. Or you could just as easily be doing some form of penance tonight, hoping it's enough, hoping that God will somehow atone your sins. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Don't get over that. When you pray and ask God to forgive you, and you need to do that on a regular basis, by the way, you haven't arrived in your Christian life where you can just kind of put it on cruise control and every now and then check in and make sure that everything's okay. No, you need to go to God regularly. But when you do, yes, go with a repentant heart, but go with a grateful heart. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. And again, where would we be tonight but for Calvary? Where would we be but for the grace of God, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? And David then ends the psalm by encouraging the whole world and all of the universe to get involved. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. How is it with you tonight? Do you have a thankful heart? Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Do you have a thankful heart? Do you come into his presence with a thankful heart? I know there's sometimes you come in just beaten down by this world. I get that. There's sometimes you come in weary. There's sometimes you come in and feel all just used up by the world. You work in the world for 8, 10, 12 hours a day with pagans and heathens that blaspheme your God. And so sometimes you come in and maybe just feel dirty and worn out. I get that. And this is the right place to come when you feel that way, by the way. But we ought to come into his courts with thanksgiving. Grateful hearts. Our God is a great God. He's done so much for us. And the danger is we can be like the children of Israel wandering along that just get so used to the miracles they mean nothing anymore. So David's saying, don't forget. Don't forget. Are you thanking and praising the Lord? Regularly. So I already did that this morning. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O thou most high, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's for you and for me. If you're saved tonight, you have so much. So much. It's easy to look and say, well, you know, I don't even know how I'm going to pay the rent this month. Or my car is not running that well. Or I'm still waiting on a report from the doctor. I'm not even sure everything's right with me right now. Or I got this issue. Work's not going too. And we can find all these things. We're a blessed people. We're a blessed people. You saw in the video just some bird's eye views of some of the Philippines. Many, many, many of you have been there. When you walk through the huts, literally just much worse than Tijuana. A lot of you have been to Tijuana, the bad sections of Tijuana, and you think, man, how do these people live like this? You can go to the parts of the Philippines that make those parts of Tijuana look rich. And it goes on for miles. We've been blessed every which way we can be blessed. Even if you live in a bad part, in a bad house, in a bad part of a bad town here, you're living pretty good compared to a good percentage of the rest of the world. And those aren't even the greatest blessings. We've been blessed materially. We've been blessed financially. You ate better today than some people will ever eat one time in their entire life. You have a copy of the Word of God. There are more copies of the Word of God here tonight than some countries have. Just in this building. We've been blessed. We've been blessed. And we can forget it, and we can take it for granted, and we can not appreciate it, and we can feel sorry for ourselves, and we can have our little pity party, and we can get bitter, and we can get upset, and we can get squabbling with other people because we're so upset in our own hearts. No, bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Forget not all His benefits. You've been blessed tonight. You say, you don't know how tough I have it. And I understand some of you are going through difficult times tonight. I understand the Hatch family is going through a deep valley tonight. I understand that. And I'm not minimizing any of that. But we've been blessed. We've been blessed. Even in the valley, God is good. Bless the Lord, O my soul, all that is within me. Forget not all His benefits. Father, thank You. Thank You for this psalm that reminds us of a very needful thing. Because, Lord, we can so quickly, so easily get discouraged and defeated and depressed and upset and even angry and maybe bitter, and wallow in self-pity. Lord, forgive us. If anybody here tonight is in that condition, forgive us. We ought not be. You've been good to us. You've blessed us. You've shown Your favor upon us. We're a blessed people. Oh, we have problems. We have difficulties. This world is sin-cursed. But one day we won't even have problems or difficulties. We'll live with You forever. Lord, we're blessed. We want to praise You tonight. We want to thank You for those blessings that we're all too prone to take for granted, all too prone to just forget about, but You've been good to us. And God, we thank You for it. Bless now in this invitation time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.